Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
Thank you, dear Father, for another opportunity to join together with others, to worship, to pray, to get involved in each other's lives, to serve you. Father, we thank you for so much that has been done to make this morning possible. People who even dreamed about building this facility, people who have prepared for this morning, people who have worked hard to be here. We pray, God, that you would bless these efforts and use them for the good of your kingdom, that you would give us receptive minds, that you would give us soft hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to get started this morning with a little interactive exercise. Have a microphone here so I can be interactive. Let's see. It's on. Are we good? Okay. Now, I learned something at the early service. I learned that I should walk around the room and ask people around me, because what they did to me that last service, I'd say, does anybody want to answer this? And somebody would raise their hand. And while I was giving that person my full attention, the whole room plotted so that the next question would be back in that corner. And I'd run over there, and then while I was giving that person attention, they would all be going, and then I caught it. I got onto it. But today, I'll just walk around. And what I'd like to do this morning, I love the way the service has come together today with so many songs about body life and community, and even our time around the Lord's table being so focused around that. And so I wanted to start this morning with just asking you what it is, and some of you, this is on your mind right now because you're in the process of deciding where you'll go to church and where you'll plug in and what you're looking for. But some of you have made that, have been looking or came here years ago because you were looking for something. So I'm wondering, what is it? Just a short couple of words, short statement of what it is that you or what you think other people are looking for when they say, I'm looking for a church. Okay, can we get started with that? Anybody? Okay, and others in this area start thinking now. Okay, all right, I'm going to go to Carolyn, okay?
I think people want connections.
Okay, say more about connections. Okay.
Connecting with other people, maybe even in their own age groups or in their own family situations, so that they have.
Okay, like borrowing money or...
No, fellowship.
Oh, okay. So connection, maybe borrowing money.
Well.
You know, in other words, you're saying they're looking for people to have... What? Chris, by the way, I got to ask you something later. You might check to see if you have 20 bucks. Anyway, no, so you're saying meaningful connection.
Yes.
Meaningful. With relationships.
Relationships.
That not just hi and a face, but actually people you get to know. Connection. Excellent. True spiritual community, Brad. Wherever you're Brad. Okay. Anybody else in this region got an idea? That's pretty close to the... This is really close, okay?
Something that's real.
Something that's real?
Real.
Okay. Something genuine, not just made up or contrived. Okay, good. There's some... Yes, sir. Paul. Okay. Accountability. You really want that, Paul? You really want accountability? Everybody write that down. Paul wants accountability. I know you. The Holy Spirit? So a place where God is at work in their midst. Okay, good. Laura? Accountability for spiritual growth. Okay. Anybody else around here? Chad?
I think people are looking for someplace that's comfortable.
Someplace where you don't feel like you're sticking out and don't fit in. Okay? Anybody? Michelle?
A place just to believers can advance the kingdom of heaven by evangelism and just by different outreaches.
Where we can do stuff to advance God's purpose. Wow, you are. I think I want to go to church with you guys. This sounds pretty good. I like this church. Okay. So a place where not just some nice ideas and a sort of a mutual friendship society, but a place where there's something, some foundation outside of yourself that fellowship is built on. Okay. The word primarily in your case there. Yeah. Others? Anybody? Oh, okay. Okay, everybody pray for me. I'm going to let Dan Siemens talk into a microphone here.
Waffles.
And he didn't let me down. At least it was a very short answer. Yeah, okay. Lori? Yeah, thanks. So, you better not.
Bonk.
Okay, but you said specifically where there is enough going on that people of every age have some place to plug in and be fed, right? Okay, anybody else? And not just on Sunday. Okay. Mark? Okay, a community where you're not alone in the challenges you're facing, right? So when you're going through something, there's somebody going through it with you, supporting you. Yeah? I'll be back.
In line with what he just said, I am thinking of this to be accepted.
To be accepted. Yeah. That's very important. In the early service today, it was really interesting, almost back to back. One person said, we came here because we thought it was a place where, I rephrased it, basically anybody was welcome. Okay, there was this acceptance. And then right after that, somebody said, a place where you can be who you are. That's both parts of that, right? It's the community saying, hey, come on in. You're accepted. And it's the person, she said, where now, because I'm accepted, I can be vulnerable. In other words, I can be honest about who I am and what I'm going through. Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, Steve. Steve's on the way.
That's all right. I don't know. It sounds like acceptance, responsibility, welcoming, where you find the Lord, and waffle.
Yeah. Spiritual food and waffles. Not so spiritual food. Yeah.
A church that prays together.
Okay.
Prays for each other.
Prayer, where we're lifting each other up. Okay, good. Well, when you hear all these different things, I noticed nobody said a church where someone preaches at them for a half an hour. Nobody was looking for that. So let's stand for our closing prayer. Yeah, I knew I'd get applause. Yeah, and may I also suggest dream on? Okay, we're gonna keep going here. What I noticed there is that really every one of those things that you mentioned is tied into two very important things. It's what God's doing and what you're doing. You know, you don't have church with just God, right? You know, it's not church just because it's about God, right? And it's not church just because, I heard people say, it's not church just because it's us. Really, it's church when all that's happening. It's a pursuit of what God's doing and what God's calling us to and what God's enabling us to do and changing us to do and redeeming and saving us to do. And it's also about what we are doing with God's help. And so we're going to be, a lot of times people will say, Ephesians is a great book about the church, and it really is a wonderful book about the church. And a lot of people will do, when they want to talk about church, they'll jump right into Ephesians chapter 4, like I'm going to this morning, because that's where the rubber really hits the road in terms of what we do and how God's saving us to do good things. But a lot of, if you start in Ephesians chapter 1, it's about the church. If you start reading Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3, you'll get this idea that when you get to chapter 4, it's sort of how you see the church from our point of view. But it starts at chapter 1, it's God's point of view. That God is redeeming and calling people to join him. It says that he's saved us and he's renewed us in Christ and he's empowered us by his Spirit for the praise of his glorious grace. In other words, the church is God's idea. The church, from a Christian point of view, the church is God's idea. It begins with God. It's the resurrection power of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we live for the praise of God's glorious grace. In other words, God receives honor. God is noted and attended to because the church, when it does this, actually becomes a picture of God's goodness. The church is to be a window into the character, purpose, and will of God. And so I want us to start this morning in chapter 4. I'd like to begin today just by reading some verses from Ephesians chapter 4 together. I'll read, you follow along, and I'll interrupt myself repeatedly as we do this, okay? He starts out in verse 7. He says, "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Okay, to each. You see some individuality there? Each is an individual word, right? To each one of us, there's a corporate word, right? So the church right here, he says, to each, it's a group of individuals that have become an us. To each one of us, grace has been given. And by the word, the very word grace in the language that it was first written, the very word has gift in it. Each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. Everybody has a gift. And who's doing the giving? It's right there. Yeah, it's not a trick. Who's doing the giving? Christ. And who's doing the apportioning? Who gets how much of what? Christ. It's his gift and it's his amount, right? So Christ himself gave the apostles, that's some individuals, right? Gave the apostles, the prophets, that's another group of individuals, right? The evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people, there's the group, right? So we see the each and the us carrying through here. To equip his people for works of service so that, okay, so we're seeing already in this text, I'm seeing there's this partnership with Christ. Everybody's got a part. And now we get to this purpose. To equip his people for works of service. So that's just the beginning of the mission, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm sorry. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ, who from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's the us, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Who's the itself? What's the itself? What's the it? The church. Who's doing the building? This look, think about it. Read the text. Don't just revert into Sunday school answers. What's the text say? Who's building the church? According to this verse, who's building the church? It's building itself.
That doesn't sound very spiritual. I think God's doing the building, Dave.
Look at. Yes, it's the grace and the power and the help and the call of God. But you can have God's power, and who God is here. Now, what lies before us is the chance to see if the church God wants here will show up. Did you know that God can be everything God's supposed to be and we might not be? Did you know that according to this text, God, by His glorious grace, has saved each of us, given us, made grace and giftedness possible for each of us, but not so that the church would just happen, but that the church would build itself. See, churches grow into what God wants them to be when they take hold of God's gift and start building themselves. Listen, I believe with all my heart that God could make you as an individual or us as a church exactly what He wants us to be, whether we wanted Him to or not. Right? I mean, according to my theology, my persuasion, my understanding of the Scripture is God could do it. But when it comes to me as an individual and us as a church, it looks like He's not going to do it without us. You see, He's prepared us, saved us, sanctified us. He's equipping us so that we join His work. Because God could get us to be what He wants without our help. So why doesn't He? Because He wants something even more. He wants a church that wants to be the church. And a church that wants to be a church is a church that says, I hear the call. I see the power. I see my part. I'm going to make it happen. It happens when? As each part does this work. Are you working? Have you found your part? Because the church God has in mind for us won't show up. We can't even imagine. You know, none of us is doing our part perfectly. None of us. In fact, we're so far from that that it would blow our minds to think what this church could be if each part did its work. It would blow your mind because the power of the Spirit and God's purposes and His truth and His wisdom, if we would just embrace that wholeheartedly and say, where do I plug in? It would blow your minds what could happen here. But my response, my yielding, my believing that promise, my getting up to do what needs to be done, that's what makes it happen. Not by myself. But not without me. We're called to partnership. Notice in verses 1 and 4, Paul says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. If you look at those first three chapters, You know? Maybe I'll just go to chapter 2 where Paul says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's the grace, right? Keep reading. Verse 10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. The whole picture is God redeems us, calls us, saves us, transforms us, equips us so that we can do something. We're called to one body. We have one Lord, and we press forward toward one hope. That's what the calling is. To each one of us, he says in verse 7 of chapter 4, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. God has called me, and I've written all these final little summaries in first person because I want us to say them, and I want us to hear something. I want us to declare something based on God's word about us. Okay? So will you join me in reading this? God has called me to be his partner in building his body and advancing his will. You can't talk about the church and God's will as something over here and then your spiritual life as something over here. The real Christian life is a life where we are saying, that's what God wants. That's what God's calling. That's what God's empowering me for. I will do it. That I have been called to be a partner with God in his mission. Secondly, let me illustrate that a little bit. About 2 weeks, maybe 6 weeks ago, I had an illustration in church where I talked about the Christian life isn't like getting in the canoe at Taylor Falls and floating down to Osceola. It's more like getting in the canoe in Osceola. Nobody's setting up a business to do this because nobody wants to paddle upstream when you could float. But the Christian life, the mission of the church, is more of an upstream battle. And so God says, get in the water right here, and let's go to Taylor Falls together. And you look at that, and if especially this time of year, the current is pretty strong against you. And God, and you say, I can't do this. God says, I'll get in the boat with you, and we'll go together. And it worked really nice with a little two-man canoe because we were talking about individual spirituality at that point a couple months ago. But as a church in corporate life, it's just a big canoe. Everybody's got a paddle. Sometimes somebody gets tired, somebody gets sick, and they lay down in the bottom of the boat. But God and his people keep paddling, and we carry everybody upstream together. We work together. I remember... this sounds so basic maybe to some of you, but there are whole streams in Christian theology and churches that, to me, I just wonder, how do people actually think that about what it means to follow Jesus? I remember when I was at the university, there was a guy named Juan, and he was from Spain. And we would have these worship services, and everybody would leave, and Juan would be up front on his knees in tears. Quiet, week after week after week, and I knew that he was an atheist. But I just befriended Juan. And we had many a conversation, many a talk. And I found out that, Juan had a history of faith, but he was just stymied by it. But in worship, he was not able to escape God. That was what was ringing his bell at that moment. And so we talked, and I explained the gospel to him in a way that he hadn't heard it before, and how we could be partners with God in his saving mission. And I had this, it was really a joy for me, because it was really an exciting thing to be able to share your faith and watch somebody take hold of it. And Juan actually came and spoke at a thing for campus ministers. It was a lunch thing. And I remember... somebody came up afterwards after Juan had talked. He said, so how do you know Juan? And I said, well, actually, Juan participates in our group, and I actually had the privilege of being somebody that helped lead Juan to the Lord. And the guy looked at me almost dismissively and said, you mean God called him? And I said, yes, God called him, and God used me. God called me too. God was calling Juan and God was calling me, and we got together. Yes, God was in it. It wasn't me. But I said, I was there, and I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have happened if I didn't show up. You know, I'm not saying God couldn't have used somebody else. I'm just saying how it went down with me. You know, I mean, if you don't get up and do your part, I'm not saying God won't get it done. I'm just saying when you do your part, you're part of it. You know? So, I think if we have this idea that God's got this mission and it's just going to go on with or without you, well, in some tiny little respect, okay, yeah. I mean, I don't think God needs me to get what God needs done. But I think God is calling me to join him as his partner. And that in God's perfect plan, you will use the gift that you've been apportioned. That you will respond and you'll become a partner with God. Each of you has a part. In this text, I brought props today. I robbed Redbird Childcare at my house to help us today. Lots of times we talk about the Christian life as obviously it centers around Jesus, Christians, Christ, okay? And the text we look at, Christ is in the middle. He's the one calling. He's the one apportioning. It's his mission, right? But a lot of us, we have this idea that my part is to just get next to Christ, and then I can really just enjoy being a pretty little red cog, and now I'm fulfilled because I was meant to be on the little board and spin. And now with Jesus' help, I'm doing that. Yippee for me, right? Okay? But this is what it's about. Sometimes people get introduced. They're not up here yet. Sometimes you are their connection to what Jesus is doing. And sometimes this goes in different directions we couldn't predict, in places we wouldn't imagine. And the church, exactly what it looks like and exactly what we're doing and exactly what the... I don't know. But I know it happens as each person does its part. You know, that's why, on one hand, I don't want to be so contriving that I say, here's what God's church is supposed to be, and I'm going to make it that, and you got to fit my plan. Okay? I don't want to do that. On the other hand, I don't want to have the idea that it's just a bunch of us, you know, out here doing our own thing. And in fact, sometimes there are some people here today who are like this. You know who you are. You're the ones your relative drug you here today. Come on, I want to go be part of the body. Okay, I'll go get a donut. Well, it wasn't a total bust. They had pancakes. Right? Or waffles. Right? So there's this interconnectedness. And by the way, I'm happy. I love it when we have all these people who maybe aren't sure. Perfect. Because you know what we can do? We can... Oh, look, you're accidentally connected. You see, the body of Christ reaches out and it has all kinds of interdependence, but each of us has to do our part. You'll notice in Ephesians 4, verse 7, each one of us has something by Christ. Now, somebody came up to me after the first service. I always do a better job, at least I have an opportunity to do a better job second service, because some of my errors or oversights have been graciously. Some people did their part and helped make the sermon better. Somebody came up to me after the first service and said, you know, you were kind of talking about our parts, and I think you said ability a time or two, and like we, you know, God gives us abilities to do things. He says, maybe it's about availability more than ability. Well, that's true. Okay. It's both those things. But it's not like some super ability. You know, in fact, I told him next service, I will make sure I get it across. I'm not talking about super abilities. Let me ask you another question. Everybody, please participate in the survey. How many of you can do something? I hope that bar's not too high for anybody. How many of you can do something? Okay, you got a part then. Okay, you know,
I've only been apportioned enough to be a ligament in the body. You know? He says, all the ligaments supporting together, working for the body. Anybody thought about your ligaments today? Most of you, this is the first time you thought about ligaments today. If there is somebody in this room who has thought about ligaments today, it's somebody who has a sore one. Right? It's somebody that pulled a ligament or a muscle. I guarantee you, if the ligament isn't doing its part, you'll think about it. It's not about big flashy gifts, but it's about everybody having a part and everybody doing that part. You know, this idea, one of the things we've done in church, and I'm going to say we, even though I don't want any credit for this, but I suppose I've complicitly gone with this sometimes. When church, some of you, you may have noticed that we're not the flashiest, most together church. Okay? That's, you know why? It's because we have everyday people doing things. I don't want to be in a church where everybody who sings, now, I'm not saying this, I'm talking about what I'm going toward. I'm not trying to put things down. But I don't want a church where everybody's getting paid to do everything. You know, because the church is not a good show that you come and go, wow, that was really a blessing, and then you leave. That might be a very nice thing, but it ain't church. Church is when everybody has found a place to fit in. And I don't care if that's carrying a little kid. I don't care if that's making a meal for somebody. I don't care if that's shoveling the sidewalk. I don't care if that's preaching a sermon. I don't, whatever. Everybody's got a part, and everybody's part counts. So here's my summary point for this. Let's say this together. Here we go. It is by God's design and provision that I have a purpose to fulfill in his saving work. You see, and you think, well, salvation, isn't that an individual thing? No. You think God's just interested in saving? I mean, yes, it goes all the way down to individuals, but God's saving the world. God's reconciling all things to himself. So, it's God's design and it's God's provision that makes it possible for you and I, as his partners, to be part of when it happens. Okay? And finally, I want to get to a point about things happening. They all happen when everybody is doing their part. Everybody's doing their part. It's you and you and you and you. Each ligament, each joint. We all find something to do and join God in that. And the things we're doing aren't just so we'll be fulfilled. Sometimes I think this is what some people think is. The gospel is, I will never be a happy blue little sprocket on my own until I am moving in tune, you know, because this is what I was meant to be, a happy blue sprocket. Yay, I'm so fulfilled in me. No, it's not that. It's this. God's got a bigger purpose than making you feel good. God's got a bigger purpose than you discovering who you are. Look at the text. Here we go with that text again, right? Why do we have a part? To equip God's people for works of service. Why? So the body of Christ may be built up. Or as he says in verse 16, so that we grow and the church grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In other words, God has got a bigger idea than just you becoming all you can be. See, God isn't just into an individual self-fulfillment, self-actualization plan. God's into get God's mission actualized mindset. That means you have to be fulfilled as an individual, but it means you also need to join God in something bigger than you as an individual. So let's say this together. Here we go. My part is not an end to itself. My part contributes to God's bigger purposes in the world. It's not just so you'll be happier at home or just so that your marriage will be okay, even though that's a little bigger than you as an individual. It's bigger than that. It's so that this church community can grow into what it's supposed to be and be built up. And so that as we're doing that, we maybe even
spill out into the community around us and make this city a better place than it would be, or our world a better place than it would be. God's idea is not to redeem you so you'll just be a nice, shiny, redeemed person. It's so that you, as a redeemed partner, empowered by Christ, would be able to join something bigger than yourself. This illustration might come out of a male childhood perspective. From my point, guys, any of you guys like hammers? Okay, I don't know if this is true of all guys, but it's true of me. I learned to enjoy a hammer much sooner than I learned to use that hammer for a good purpose. You know? I mean, when I first got a tool kit as a kid, you know, I mean, I must have filled a board that my dad gave me with 1,000 nails, you know, and it was good. I was learning how to use that hammer. I was learning how to drive a nail. It was good. It wasn't really accomplishing a great purpose. And in fact, if my dad was working on a project, like, you know, maybe building something in the house or whatever, if I showed up with my hammer, he didn't go, "Awesome, jump in, son." He was like, whoa, what are you going to do? Right? Because you can have a hammer. If I had a hammer, I'd cause a lot of trouble, right? You can have a hammer. You can even be really good at using the hammer and be terrible at joining a bigger purpose, especially if you don't get that there is one. And here's what I'll say in church. Like sometimes, you know, I have a musical background. Sometimes people will say, "I'm just looking for a church where I can honor God and use my musical gifts." And they're not saying this, but I know what I've seen it. "So I will be so happy as a musician that I'll feel so musical and fulfilled because it'll be me and Jesus and my music, and it'll be cool to be myself, to be the musician God made me to be." They don't have an idea that our goal is not to help you be musical here. Our goal is to build the body of Christ. So great. If music is the hammer in that little hand of yours, wonderful. It's not the joy of hitting things. It's not the joy of saying, "I got a hammer, I got a voice," or whatever. It's the joy of seeing that voice used to do bigger things. And what bigger things? Well, we don't even have to get out of Ephesians 4. If you just look at verse 2, 3, 12, 13, 14, and 15, it says stuff like, this church is building itself up in love. It's growing in humility, gentleness, patience, unity, peace, works of service, unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son, maturity into the fullness of Christ, stability, truth, love, maturing into in every respect. How's that? You know, Paul doesn't leave anything out. Every respect into Christ. You see, friends, if you had a voice, or if you can teach, or you like working with kids, we have no goal in this church to have an awesome youth lock-in. Unless that youth lock-in helps some kids know Jesus, grow in maturity, learn how to be gentle, start loving other people better. Oh, now I get what the youth program is for. It's not so we'll have a youth program. It's so that we'll have the body of Christ. If you can sing, if you can run a tractor, if you can fix a lawnmower, if you can scoop a walk, if you can teach a Sunday school class, none of those things are an end unto themselves. If you teach a Sunday school class, you cannot walk away going, "Well, I covered that class, I filled that hour, job done." No, the job's not done just because you had a class. Because having a class wasn't the goal. Having a body mature and for people to know Jesus and for things to change, that's what we're after. And if your class isn't serving that purpose, it's like a little kid banging a hammer around a worksite. The mission is God's purpose in the world. The things you are and the things you can do, Those are just things to be used for something bigger. So, in summary, we're called to partner. We're gifted. Each of us has a part. And our call and our part serves a great big purpose. The goal is not to have church. The goal is to be a praise of God's glorious grace. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this church. Help us to hear your call. Help us to find our part. And help us to remember it's not just about a call and a part. It's about your redemptive, saving purposes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.